Alright, so we had a couple weeks interruption here, thanks to the weather and other occurrences, but when we last left our heroes, we were discussing the 11th principle, and the last discussion that we had, and going to somewhat build off in the form of contrast, off of the last discussion that we had, which was we discussed the line of the Rambam in the 11th principle here, in which he said that the main star, or rather the greatest star, the greatest reward is the reward of Olam Haba, of the world to come, and the greatest punishment is the punishment of Kais, with the implication that there were other rewards and other punishments. If one is the greatest, then that means that there are others, and we had a discussion in our previous class about the nature of otherly reward other than the reward of Olam Haba in the Rambam. And just to summarize, for the purpose of building off of that, we basically just discussed the idea that in the Rambam, the nature of reward in this world is that it is a medium, a means through which to facilitate greater fulfillment, greater performance of coming closer to God, of learning Torah, of learning Chachma, of divine wisdom, and keeping the mitzvos, and there's nothing intrinsically valuable about the reward of this world. It's all there as the reward. That is how the Rambam understands mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that one mitzvah brings about another mitzvah, is that when you perform a mitzvah, that then the result is Hashem then provides you with the means to perform another mitzvah. He enhances or eases, it makes it, facilitates your ability to continue doing more mitzvos. And that is, in that way, that, so that's the idea of reward in this world. But the main point I want to discuss is that the focus, the central idea is that reward in this world, all of the good things that a person, all of the Yehudim Tovim, the good promises that the Torah gives for performance of mitzvot, are all not of intrinsic or inherent value. They all only have value because they lead towards something else. So that, with that introduction, so now we're going to discuss the other half, which is that the Rambam says, Gmul or Gadol Hu Olam Haba, the greatest reward is the Olam Haba. So we're going to try and understand a little bit what the nature of Olam Haba is, and hopefully try and understand, get a little bit of the idea of why it is that the nature of the reward becomes part of the Iker, becomes part of the fundamental here, part of the principle. Why is it important exactly what the reward is? Just the fact that there's a reward, that should be, you know, enough to make this principle into a principle. Why does the Rambam, why is it necessary to include exactly what the reward is? So we're going to try and address that point by the end of this morning. So, on the first page here, we're going to start with a somewhat well-known phrase that the Rambam uses in Hilchos Tshuva. In the final chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam describes the person who is an Oved Me'ahava, serves Hashem out of love. And the Rambam writes, Ha'Oved Me'ahava, this is Halakha Beis, the second Halakha in the 10th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, Ha'Oved Me'ahava, Oseik V'Torah U'V'Mitzvos, V'Holeik V'Nesivos V'Chachma, Lo Mitnei Davar Ba'Olam. The person who is Oved Me'ahava, serves Hashem out of Ahavas Hashem, love of Hashem, he is involved in Torah and in mitzvos, and he walks in the paths of wisdom, lo mipnei davar ba'olam, not because of anything in the world, lo mipnei yiras hara, not because of fear of bad, v'lo kedei l'yarei shatova, and not in order to inherit, to acquire for himself, attain for himself the good, ela o Osa ha-emes mi-nei-shehu emes. He does the truth. He does the emes because it is emes. V'sof ha-tova lavo bichlal. And the good will come along with it. That will be included. But his driving motivation is that he does the emes because it is emes. He does the truth because it is truth. So in order to understand what the Rambam here means, there are, I think, many who, with their own agendas, have their own understanding of what this Rambam means. You know, that some idea of you know, that the value of just the truth, and maybe what you think is true, or all kinds of. But we'll see the Rambam himself, what the idea of emes is, as the Rambam uses it, what this idea of truth, or maybe we'd better call it authenticity, is, and try and understand what the Rambam, the idea the Rambam is saying here, that there's an idea of being oved me'ahava, which means doing the emes because it is emes. So, if you turn the page, the next source we have here is the Rambam towards the very beginning of Mishneh Torah. This is Hilchos Yisodei Torah, chapter 1, halacha 2 through 4. Right, Perek Aleph, halacha, Beis through Dalet. So this is the second, third, and fourth halachas in Mishneh Torah. And the Rambam is describing a halacha Aleph, which is on the page before, which we don't have on here, is basically just that God exists, right? So that there is this existence, which is God, right? So by halacha Beis, he says, V'im yale ahadas shehu einu matzoi, ve'ein davar acher, yachol lehimatzos. If you would imagine that there would not be he would not exist, right? If you would picture, it would be Ola Adas, that Shehu Eino Matzoi, that God did not exist. Ein Davar Acher Yachol Lehimatzos. Nothing else could exist. With the removal of God's existence, there is no room for anything else to exist. Nothing else could exist without the existence of God. V'im yale al hadas she'ein kol nimtzayim milvado mitzuyim. And if you would imagine that that everything else other than him did not exist, hu levado yeh matzoy v'lo yevatel hu lebitulam, then he alone would continue to exist, and his existence would not be nullified, would not be subtracted from due to the nullification, due to the voiding of the existence of everything else. If God did not exist, nothing else could exist. If everything else did not exist, God would be the same. Shekol hanimtzayim tzrichim lo, everything that exists needs him. Everything, the existence can only stem from God. V'hu baruch hu einu tzarich b'hem v'lo le'achad b'hem. God does not need them, does not need any one of them. Lefikach, this is our key words here. Therefore, ein amitaso ke'amitas echad b'hem. His emes, the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not like the emes of anything else. Hu sha'navi omer halacha dalet. This is what the Navi means when he says, V'Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem Elokim Emes. That Hashem is Emes. Hu levado ha-Emes. He alone is Emes. V'ein la'acher Emes kamito. And there is nothing else that has an Emes like his Emes. Hu levado, v'hu sha'Torah omeres. And this is that which the Torah means when it says, Ein od milvado. There is nothing else other than Hashem. Kilomar, ein sham matzoi emes milvado kamoso. There is nothing else that exists that is emes like Hashem is emes. So if we would sum it up, if we would put it in a nutshell, what is the idea that the Rambam is describing here? Is the idea of an existence which has intrinsic reality to it. God exists because he exists. His existence is not dependent on any other existence. God's existence is what we would call the real existence. And everything else only exists because God gives it existence. Everything else is what the Rambam and other Jewish thinkers use in other contexts, the phrase a Matzias Taloi versus a Matzias Mochach. That Hashem is a Matzias Mochach. He is an existence which is intrinsically, intrinsically necessitated an existence which is intrinsically justified. God exists because he exists. God is the most basic definition of what God is, in terms of the existence of the world, is God is existence. The context of existence, that's some Jewish thinkers identifies the meaning when we say that, when we call God, when we call him Hamakom, right? Hu Mekomo Shel Olam, which literally means he is the place of the world, he's the location of the world. That means he is the context in which the world exists. The world existence, it comes from God. God is the context through which existence is possible. There is no existence outside of God. God is reality, and everything else is a product of that, is something that God gives some semblance, some sense of reality to it, but it's not actually real. It doesn't have intrinsic existence to it. If God would no longer continue its existence, it would go away. But God's existence is not the way. God exists eternally and always. His existence is authentic. So, and that's what the Rambam says is described as Hashem Elokim Emes. That Hashem is Emes, and then he says that's the same idea as Ein Od Milvado, that there is nothing other than Hashem. So the idea of Emes, as the Rambam is using it, is the idea of authentic reality, of reality. It's that Hashem is real, Hashem is authentic. He's the only existence which is authentic. He's the only existence which is intrinsically justified and is not merely produced by something else, the way in the words of Nefesh Chaim uses towards the beginning of Shaar Gimel, that we've brought this in before, but the idea that everything else, from the perspective of God's existence, it would be true to say that nothing else really exists. Everything else is just a mirage of sorts. God's existence is the only real existence, and everything else, in a certain sense, is fake, because in a certain sense, it's just a product, it's just an image put up, it's just something that God has created to have a sense of reality. But this is what in the Kabbalistic sources refer to this world as Alma de Shikra, the world of Sheker, because it doesn't have a real reality to it. The idea of MS, as the Rambam is using it, is the idea of having authentic reality, of being real. The Rambam writes, turning the page, one more spot in the Mishneh Torah. So the Rambam, the beginning of the 8th chapter of Hilchos Tshuvos, is Parak Tes Halacha Aleph. The Rambam describes Olam Haba, and the Rambam says, HaTova HaTzafuna LaTzadikim Hi, the Tova, the good which is awaiting Tzadikim, is Chaye Olam Haba, is the life of the world to come. V'heim HaChayim She'ein Imahem Maves, that is life which does not have with it any death or any cessation. V'Tova She'ein Imara, and good which does not contain any bad. Hu shekasov b'Torah, and this is what the Torah is describing, l'ma'an yitav l'cha v'harach b'yamim, in order that it be good for you and you have long days. That's what the Torah describes as the reward for two of the mitzvos. Mipi ashmur lamdu, and in the oral tradition, we learn, l'ma'an yitav l'cha l'olam shekulo tov, that should be good for you in a world which is entirely good. V'harach b'yamim l'olam shekulo arach, and you should have length of days in a world which is entirely lengthy, meaning it is endless. So the idea of Olam Haba, the idea of the world to come, is that it is permanent, it's endless, it is purely Tov, and it is without end. It is that level of existence which is not just a step in the process of getting somewhere else, but that's the permanent final state. It stays that way. That if it's eternal, that means that that's the end of the line. That's where you're trying to get. Just one more source where the Rambam describes this is earlier in the Haggadah that we're learning.
We're coming back to the Emes concept.
Yes, we plan to. We're trying to tie that together after this next source, and then so the earlier in our Hakdama to Chilak here, so the Rambam writes, I don't know how to reference this for, basically on in the Shilat translation, it's on page Kuf Lamed Vav, it's a paragraph. Batova tapas achrona hilagia el zus achaver el yona lahasik zus amedriga. Says v'kiyum hanefesh kemoshe siparnu ad ein sof kikiyum abora yisroom am shivcho asher hu sibas kiyuma. That the final stage of existence is the kiyum hanefesh, the existence of the nefesh, which in the Rambam's terminology means the soul. Kemoshe siparnu, as we've explained, ad ein sof, with no end. Kikum habore, like the existence of God, of the Creator Himself, Yisroom Hamshivcho Asher Hu Sibas Kiyuma, which is the original cause of its existence, that the final stage of existence is to achieve a permanent existence like the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Himself. V'zehu atov hagavol Asher Ein Tov Sheyukash Elav. This is the ultimate good to which nothing else can be compared. V'ein tanug sheyimashal bo, there is no pleasure which could be used as an analogy for it, the Eich Yimashel Hamasmid Ad Ein Sof B'davar Nifsak. And says the Rambam, his simin, his indication that this is a qualitatively different level of reward, is how could you possibly compare that which is Masmid, that which is constant and eternal, that which is ongoing, to that which is nifsak, to that which is interrupt, or that which ceases. V'hu amro yis'ale, and then he quotes the same idea that we said before, l'man yitav l'cha v'arach l'yamim, l'man yitav l'cha v'arach l'yamim, in order that it be good for you to have long days, u'bal elin ha'kabal ha'yidei, and b'therish zeh l'man yitav l'cha v'olam shel kul tov, to be good for the world which is entirely good, v'arach l'yamim v'olam shel kul arach, and you'll have long days, a world that is entirely long. So the Rambam here, the same idea, this idea of Olam Haba, the Rambam sees the qualitative distinction, the first point that the Rambam points out as the indication that this is something qualitatively different, is the fact that this is endless and everything else has an end to it. How could you possibly compare the two? That which is masmid versus that which is davar hanifsa, that which is masmid ad ein sof, that which is consistently constant and unending, as opposed to that which has an end to it. So the idea,
Rabbi,
yes,
you could have unending boredom. You could be in a little white room, and there's nothing else there.
What do you mean?
You get very bored of that.
So you don't have to have good. You're not saying it has to be good.
But why is unending good?
Why is unending good?
Because unless there's another aspect to it of goodness.
No, it's good which is unending.
I didn't say that.
Certainly,
you're just stressing the unendingness.
The zehu hatov hagadol asher ein tov sheyukash elav. The ein tanug sheyimashal bo. The Rambam's point is, how does he know, or how does he identify that this good, we know both are good. There's some pleasure to it, right? The hamburgers are good, and Olam Haba is good. How do you know that Olam Haba is qualitatively different than hamburgers? Because 3 hours after you eat the hamburger, so that pleasure, it's gone, right? But the pleasure of Olam Haba is eternal. So the Rambam says that both of our starting points is that they're both, you know, in an experience of tainug, of pleasure. But the one pleasure, he says, is qualitatively different than the other because it is eternal, because it is endless. The point being that what the Rambam is describing, that Olam Haba, that the world to come, is permanent. It is an ends. It is something which has, it creates a real existence. It's something which is not merely a meanwhile, you know, it's not a step along the way. If it's endless, it is the end. It's the end of the line. That's the goal. If there's nothing after it, if it never ends. So that's a madriga. That's an element, a level of having achieved a reality. The goal, the purpose of, or the idea, the concept of Olam Haba is that a person has achieved a degree of MS, has achieved a degree of real existence. It's lasos esa MS, mipnesha hu MS, is they are doing MS, they are fulfilling authentic reality because it creates a reality. They are creating reality. They are creating an essential existence for themselves. They are creating an existence which is not just something which gets you to somewhere else. They are achieving a level of existence which is real. And they are connecting themselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in such a way that they become part of reality. So it's not just it's not just that a person gets a certain amount of points for doing something good. We might describe what the Rambam has described as the reward in this world in that way. A person does something good, you get a certain amount of points, which gives you a certain amount of good in this world, which, you know, as the Rambam describes it, enables you to do more good. But it's basically just you've done something which gives you a certain amount of credit. Olam Haba is not at all like that. Olam Haba is the existence of MS. It's the existence which is eternal. It's existence which is real. You have created a reality to your existence by accessing Olam Haba, by connecting yourself to the reality of God's existence. You have attached yourself to reality, and therefore it's much more than just one other form of scar. It's much more than just, you know, green beans, you know, are okay. Hamburgers are good. Steak is awesome. And Olam Haba is really awesome. Not at all. It's not just one step up. It's not just, you know, in the scale of enjoyable experiences, the highest enjoyable experience, the most enjoyable out of all the enjoyable experiences. It is qualitatively different in that it is not just a pleasure. It is reality. You have bought into, you have accessed reality by getting into Olam Haba. A person is now part of the true existence of connecting to, which is the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You've connected to that existence. You've created reality for yourself. And that's very important for this ikkar, for this principle, because what the ramification of this is, as we've explained many times, the point of the ikrim, the idea of the ikrim is that it creates a situation in which it is meant to create the framework in which a person recognizes that there is no other option other than doing what Hashem said. A person has aligned themselves or subjected themselves to a system in which they understand that they are not keeping a God's will. They are not doing God's will because it is currently the most expedient choice for themselves. It's not currently the best decision, and it's what they, you know, it works out the best for them. But, you know, even while they're keeping God's mitzvos, hypothetically, you know, if they had reason to, they would stop doing it because something else became more beneficial or less bad or whatever it is. So these 13 principles lock a person in that I am doing what Hashem said because I have to, because I am an Eved Hashem. I'm doing what Hashem said not because it's what I want to do. I'm doing what Hashem said because I have to. If a person believed in an Olam in reward and punishment to the extent that it meant that you'll get all kinds of good things, which are, you know, enjoyable, pleasurable, whatever it is, but at the end of the day, I've got one life to live, right? I've got 70, 80 years, and I'm going to give up my entire 70 or 80 years for this level, for this pleasure, which is also, you know, okay, so it's good, but at the end of the day, I only get to live once, so all of the things I'm not going to do. So I'll make a cost-benefit analysis, and a person will say, you know, okay, so I'll make sure I do enough to, you know, not get on God's bad side, and then, you know, I've got a lot of things I have to enjoy in this world. The thrust of what Olam Haba is that it is not just one other means of pleasure. It is not just one factor in the Schar and Onesh, in the reward and punishment scale. It is not just another aspect of how you could be rewarded or punished. It is eternal, and it is reality. A person is, when they are not doing Ratzon Hashem, is removing themselves from reality, and a person, when they are doing Ratzon Hashem, is connecting themselves to reality. Existence, you exist if you have done Ratzon Hashem. You don't exist, which is how the Rambam will maybe have a class dedicated to this topic if it fits, but that the Rambam, just the one-line summary, the Rambam's idea of kares is non-existence. A person is spiritually cut off means that they cease to exist. That is the idea of schar, according to the Rambam, is eternal existence. And the idea of onesh, according to the Rambam, is eternal non-existence, is to cease to exist. It's much more than just, you know, one more patch or one more slice of cheesecake. It is the eternal, it is existence or non-existence hanging in the balance. And therefore, a person cannot make cheshbonos, you can't make calculations about how much is this, you know, avera worth, how much pleasure is this thing going to be worth against what I stand to lose from it. A person is measuring existence versus something ephemeral, something transient, something that's only here for now. The person is the schar and the onesh of this world. They're in this world. They're limited to that. If a person was only serving Hashem because there's going to be in this world a certain amount, a certain degree of what they're going to get out of it, so it is by definition limited. It's limited to the same degree that they're limited. But a person understands that they are surpassing their own limitations. They're tapping into a reality. That is where a person comes to a point where a person cannot make a calculation of anything of you know, what's going to be the worth of doing something other than Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem, doing Hashem's will, defines what gives a person reality, what gives a person existence, authentic existence, and everything else is not that. And a couple of hands up.
No, I was just going to ask if essentially this life that we have now is a short precursor to the real reality, is essentially what you're saying.
Right.
And so by seeing this life as I have to do everything that I can, it's completely negated the idea of this is only a precursor to the real reality of eternal, you know.
I wasn't really saying that point, but that's a good point. Right. A person, by making this kind of calculation of, you know, I'm going to make sure that I get the most out of this life, is that in itself is a statement that I see this life is the life, and the next life is not. You know, there's nothing more than this. It's not any better than this, not any different than this. The person who realizes the reality of existence will realize that the real show is after this life. So to say I'm going to have to make sure that I make the best of this life, not in a moral good and bad, but in terms of a enjoyment, they got to make sure that I get the most pleasure out of this life, as completely off in their value system. You're putting where you're saying this life is the life where you've got to get what you get, where you've got to, you know, to make the most of it. And after that, you know, it's not important. No, it's exactly the opposite. The next, after this life, is where the real show is where reality is. It's in this life is how you gain access to that. Rabbi Corey.
I think you should mention, or maybe, there must be an equal and opposite place. Gehenna. So you haven't mentioned that at all.
That's true, because I haven't mentioned that at all.
Because if a person gets punished and doesn't know it, it doesn't seem like a punishment.
So
there must be an eternal bad where these bad people go.
Well, so a couple
maybe
of things.
Maybe that's where the Kairos people go.
The topic of Gehenna and the Rambam is a very complicated discussion, but just to what the Rambam himself describes in the introduction to Chelek, so the Rambam really says that Gan Eden and Gehenna are not synonymous with Olam Haba and Kairos. Gan Eden, the Rambam says, is a place in this world where during the time of Mashiach, the Yeros of Mashiach, that place will be revealed, and it's a place which has all kinds of, you know, things to help a person live a long life and things like that, which will facilitate their further avodah of Hashem. But it's a physical place in the physical world. And Gehenna is the place where the wicked get their punishment. But neither of those are not synonymous with Olam Haba and Karis. It is a longer discussion. There were Rishonim who are very bothered with the Rambam. The way the Rambam describes what Karis is, it seems like it's a one-size-fits-all. You just cease to exist. So either you, existence is binary. You either exist or you don't exist. So the question is, a person who goes through his life, you know, raping and pillaging and murdering, and a person who eats a kazayas of chalev, right, which the Torah says you get karis for, so it would seem, and if we talk about, if we have a class dedicated to this, we'll try and address this issue, but just raising the issue that is discussed, it would seem according to the Rambam, the two of them have the same fate. Both of them are going to have karis, right? Both of them going to end up with non-existence. Doesn't seem right. One of them had, you know, a qualitatively worse existence than the other.
Opposite.
Yeah.
That Olam Haba, you know, suppose I squeak in. I just squeak in, right? And then I'm sitting next to Gadol Hador. I'm going to feel, oh boy, what am I doing here? How do I get in here? You know, maybe I don't deserve it. You know, and I'll see myself on a lower rung of the Olam Haba ladder.
Well, so the truth is,
what you're saying is that everybody's going to be equal, and that doesn't make sense.
So that second point is really what the question should be. The first point that you make, actually, the Gemara itself says that it says in Olam Haba kol echa nichva mechupasol shel chaveiro, that everyone in Olam Haba is burned by the chuppah, by the canopy that the other person has, which means when a person sees what the other person achieved and how they got more than how they achieved more than he did, he's going to be burned. He's going to feel the pain of the lack of his own achievement in that regard, which is, I don't want to get too much into this because it's not our topic for today, but which is really the opening for answering both questions, is that it's really not so binary. Existence in this sense is not necessarily a binary, either you exist or you don't. The degree to which a person is in his totality or partially takes part in that reality might be a sliding scale. It might be that a person can be, you know, to the degree to which they actualize themselves is the degree to which they will exist in that world. And the degree to which they haven't is the degree to which they will not exist. And a person can be there in a degree. It's the degree to which they created, they put themselves into that reality is the degree to which they will be in that reality. A person could be partially there. So that's the Olam Haba is in the Rambam's understanding. That much is clear. The Gehenim Kais part is not as clear, but at least in the Olam Haba part, the fact that each person, according to his Hasaga of Hashem, according to the Chachma which he's acquired, according to the degree to which he has attached his Seichel to the Seichel Eloki, to the godly Seichel, is the extent to which he'll be connected to Hashem, that could be in Madregas, in degradation, but I don't want to go further into the topic just because we'll see if we have a class dedicated to that, but I do have one more idea which I want to try and get through, which is a few more pages here. We'll see how much we get through, which is a second element to this discussion, which is the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the third mitzvah, the Rambam writes, HaMitzvah HaShlishi, the third positive commandment, Hi Shetzivanu La'ahavo Yis'aleh, to love Hashem, V'zesh Nisbonin V'naskil Mitzvosav U'Pu'ulosav Ad Shenasigeu V'Nis'aneg V'Hasagaso Tachos Atainog says that we contemplate in his mitzvos and his actions until we are able to enjoy Hashem's connection with Hashem. This is the obligatory level of Ahavas Hashem. The Lashon Sifri, the Medrash Sifri, says Lefi Shenemar V'Ahavas Hashem Elokecha Ein Yodea Ketzid Oev Es HaMakom. that says you should love Hashem. I don't know how I'm supposed to love Hashem. So how am I supposed to do it? Talmud Lomar. So the verse continues, V'hayu ha-devarim ha-eila asher anochi mitzavach ha-yom al-avavacha. That these words which I'm commanding to you should be on your heart, meaning you should contemplate them. Shemitoch kach, that through that, through having the dvarim that Hashem was mitzavah, the words that Hashem commanded on your heart, after makir es mish amar v'hai olam, through that you come to recognize He who spoke and created the world. You are able to recognize and come to an understanding and an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through an appreciation of the Torah and the mitzvot. The Rambam writes in the very end of Hilchos Tshuva, the second last halacha in Sefer Hamada, the Rambam writes, this is Perek Yud Halacha Hey, Kol Ha'osek Ba Lo Le'ira V'Lo Le'Kabel Skar El Mipnei Ahavas Adon Kol Ha'aretz. Anyone who is involved in the Torah or mitzvos, in not because of fear, not in order to receive reward, but rather because of an ahava, love of their master, Shatziva Ba, who commanded they should do it, Hareze Osik Balishma, says the Rambam, that is the person who is involved in Torah and in mitzvos lishma, is which often translated for its own sake, but it's the madrega, the level that Chazal described, that a person should be ovid lishma, should be ovid Hashem for the proper, the right reasons, for the sake of avodas Hashem. That's the person, the Rambam says, that is the ovid me'anav, the person who serves Hashem out of avas Hashem, not for any ulterior motive other than just the fact that Hashem said so, so I'm going to do it. That's the level of lishma. One more thing before we start to put this together. The Rambam earlier in Hilchos Tshuva writes, this is chapter 8, halacha 2. The Rambam writes, Kach amru chachamim harishonim, ha'olam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo tashmish el tzadikim yoshim v'chosem v'yoshem v'nanim miziv ashkina. Says that olam haba does not consist of eating or drinking or relations, or it's merely the righteous are sitting, and not merely, it is the purely the tzaddikim, the righteous are sitting with their crowns on their heads and enjoying and benefiting from the ziv hashchina, from the shine of the shchina, of the divine presence. And the Rambam goes through exactly what this analogy means, and in explaining it, he writes, skipping a couple lines, the kol zasha amru itrosehem beroshehem, this which we said that their crowns are on their heads, kolomar deya sheyedu shebiglala zachu l'chayom haba mitzuya imahem, the knowledge or the awareness which they gained, that through it they merited to come to Olam Haba, is Mitsuya Imahem, that exists, that is what they have when they come to Olam Haba, is that awareness, that knowledge of Hashem, that is what they bring with them to Olam Haba. Umahu Zash Amru V'nehenin Miziv HaShchina, what does it mean? He said that they enjoy, they benefit from the shine of the Shechina. Sheyodin Umasigin Me'amitas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are become aware and they grasp the MS, the authenticity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Ma she'einan yodin v'hein beguf ha'afel v'hashafel. That a level which they are unable to grasp when they are in this the world of darkness. So the other element of what this idea of Olam Haba is, that Olam Haba is this the result of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is part of it. It's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person, by doing the access to Olam Haba, when you serve Hashem Me'ahava, you have it's not just because I'm going to get something out of what I'm doing, but you have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that relationship is what forms the framework for Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the existence of that relationship after a person leaves this the physical parts of the world. that the in their the daya that they have, the knowledge of Hashem that they have, the relationship that they built through Ahavas Hashem, that relationship is what they bring with them. That the reality of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Olam Haba is. There's one last step here. The Rambam in the the Rambam has a long letter called Igeres Hatchiyah or Igeres Tchiyas Amesim, which he wrote to in response to accusations that he did not believe in Tchiyas Amesim and the revival of the dead and the final resurrection. So the Rambam wrote a long letter responding to that, because basically the accusation was that the Rambam had spent a long time describing Olam Haba, and he spent very little time describing Tchiyas Amesim. And the Rambam, and there are those who therefore said that the Rambam didn't really believe in Tchiyas Amesim. It was only Olam Haba, and he didn't really have such a thing as Tchiyas Amesim. That was the accusation that was leveled against the Rambam. And the Rambam wrote a lengthy letter explaining how he understood all of these things, in which he explained, you know, how he does believe in them and what each one of them is. But the Rambam, in explaining, really in responding to the challenge, that, you know, he didn't, it's true, he hadn't spent so much time describing Tchiyas Amesim. So the Rambam writes that he spent a lot of time explaining Olam Haba, Asher Batevahu, Ki Sheyamusu Ishe Baalei Chayim, that it is natural that when the person dies, Visha Adam Lovado Nidvak Bo Hashem Eloki, and you're just left with the essence of the person which had connected itself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'hu Chayim Sheyo Bo Davar Omid. So it necessitates that there's something that lives on Lo Yovar Lo Yipasid, which does not get destroyed, it isn't lost, that part of the person which connected to the divine, that is going to continue to exist. Skipping a few lines, he says, "Nishar davar, nishar mimasha higia la'avam, v'zero davar asher b'teva." That which the person achieved, that is going to live on, and that is something which is very natural. The Rambam is explaining the reason he spent so much time describing Olam Haba is because, in the Rambam's view, Olam Haba was a very rational process. We're going to have to get back to this when we get to the 13th Iker, the Iker of Tchiyas Amesim. But just for now, the Rambam writes that the idea of Olam Haba is a very natural, rationalistic process, according to the Rambam. It makes sense why a person who connected themselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, connected their seichel to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, will continue to exist with that relationship that they've built. The idea of Tchiyas Amesim, the Rambam describes, is a sort of miraculous, irrational thing. It doesn't make sense why Tchiyas Amesim, the resuscitation, the resurrection of the physical body, should be the result of a spiritual achievement of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That the Rambam says he didn't spend so much time talking about because you don't understand it. There's nothing to talk about. It's just, it is. It just is. So it's not, in the Rambam's view, there's no point in discussing it if it's something that it just is. It is that way because it is that way, and there's nothing to talk about. But Olam Haba, which is a logical process in the Rambam's mind, so that it makes it the Rambam spends time on. But the reason I'm bringing this in here is because that's the idea of what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is the result of the relationship that a person has built with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the nature of the star of Olam Haba, that a person understands that you're not just getting more hamburgers, that it's the hamburgers, right? You're not getting more steak, right?
What about donuts?
Donuts, right? You're not getting more donuts. That Olam Haba is the relationship that a person has created with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is what Olam Haba is. That's what the Iker is saying, that it's not just more donuts and more brownies. It's a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is what Olam Haba is, and a person has to understand that they are creating their own Olam Haba. When the person forms the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that they are forming, they are building their own Olam Haba, they are building their own relationship, and that's what exists. After they die, Olam Haba is that relationship which they created with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, we will continue next week. I just want